So, though it's not a good sign if a preacher begins this way, please excuse the cheesy example or metaphor I'm going to begin with. I think it's cheesy, at least. So, here it is. Your mission, if you're willing to accept it, you guys know where that comes from? Anybody? Your mission, if you're willing to accept it. I was thinking of this as I was reading Titus, and, you know, coinciding with the story that we just heard about the angels and the shepherds. And so it was the angel's message to the shepherds, one could say, your mission, if you're willing to accept it, is to go find this little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Hardly a mission impossible until we think about the implications of it. So I want to just let you know one thing, because you might not get it in the sermon and might not actually say it again clearly. Tonight, you have received this message from God that there is a call on you if you're willing to accept it. And that call is a call to adventure, to join the revolution. It's a call to a life beyond your imagination. And the impossibility of it, of course, is that it doesn't look like that at all. So let me just remind you what Paul says to Titus. First of all, the reminder that what's happened, this is the grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation to all humanity, teaching us or instructing us, or I like the word training because it's all this combined in this Greek word from which we get pedagogy. It's the Greek word that talked about what you would do to your children, hopefully so that they would grow up to be responsible and contributing members to your society. That's the word, the Greek word that we read, instructing us. And training is a better word, I think. Training us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly. And that's a word that talks about self-control, righteously and godly in the present age. Now, the trick, of course, is that we have been duped into believing that adventure all lies on the other side, that self-control, righteous living, and godliness are not truly adventurous. But do you know what? And I love the way Jenkins says this in his little book, Invitation to Theology. When he talks about Adam and Eve and that big oops at the very beginning, he says, then began the dull, D-U-L-L, dull, boring, uninteresting, not intelligent, not creative, the dull litany of human sin. Guess what, boys and girls? Oh, sorry, my elders as well. There is no new sin. It's the very beginning pages of the recorded history of humanity, and Genesis, of course, is the oldest record we have, whether or not you accept that as history, articulate and chronicle the very sins that you and I think is so exciting and so adventurous, if we do, in fact, think that way. I'll tell you where real adventure lies, is in self-control. Now, why do I say that? If, for instance, the first thing you tried something, you succeeded at it, and every other time you did it, you succeeded, that could hardly be called an adventure. You might really like it, you might say, I'm a great success, but you could not say, what an adventure I had, because there is no adventure in succeeding immediately. Adventure comes in challenging, being proven, failing, mission impossible. But here's the real reason why it's impossible. The shepherds, Mary, the shepherds say, let's go see this great sight. Now, okay, this was sent by a whole crowd of angels. First of all, one angel. We don't know what angels necessarily look like, but every time the Bible says an angel showed up, everybody's afraid, and the angel has to say, their first words is what? Do not be afraid. So there's something going on here. This is not hum-ho, ho-hum, sorry. This isn't like, oh, well, what's the big deal? This is, no, there is something really going on. And then because the shepherds needed this underlined, all of a sudden there's a whole host, a whole army of angels singing and praising God. They say, let's go. Obviously, that kind of announcement, there must be something really significant to see. And what do they see? The same thing they would see anywhere else in the Galilean countryside. A poor man and a poor young woman, his wife, who've just given birth in less than ideal circumstances and have wrapped the baby up and put it in the only place available, a feeding trough or some receptacle that would hold fodder for the animals and now holds the baby. And they come, they see, they're like, okay, yeah, well, I can see why God sent an angel, because this is really staggering. Like, wow. Mary's sitting there. The shepherds say the angels came, told us to come. Mary's remembering, of course, her own visitation with an angel. And she's going, how does this line up? And that's the impossible thing about this mission, should you choose to accept it. Is you need to develop the unique ability that Paul talks about in Corinthians, about looking at the invisible things instead of the things that can be seen. Now that is a trick. I've been trying that for a while. Kids, go home and try that. Look for the invisible things. Don't get distracted by the things you can see. You got Paul. He's a good guy to follow there. He says that that's what we should do. And that's sort of that's both the adventure and the impossible part of this. God has reminded you today about a very staggering truth. It happened in time and space. It's part of history, and it continues today. So it's not something that you need to take solely on faith, but you do begin with faith. And he's asking if you, like the shepherds, will follow up and say to yourself, let's go investigate what we heard. Or, to shift gears, shift metaphors entirely, you've just got this cryptic little message. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, this will self-destruct in 35 seconds. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to choose the adventure of following God in a lost world, by denying ungodliness and choosing self-control, righteousness, and godliness. It's impossible because it's not what is going to see, what you're going to see or meet immediately. You need to see beyond what's right in front of you. And that's not a new thing. Mary had to do that. The shepherds had to do that. Joseph had to do that. Every person who met Jesus when he was alive on the earth had to do that. They had to see something that wasn't immediately recognizable. So Christmas is this wonderful thing, but it too can be missed if we aren't learning how to see what's unseen, if we get distracted by what we can see. So mission impossible, long live adventure as we follow Jesus. Amen.